let me tell you something, brother.
What is your name?
I told you.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Tell me. He didn't just say that.
Hey, yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
What? 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 What?
It doesn't matter what you think. Have a nice day.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Great Debate. Each episode features spirited discussions, deliberations, and disputes on a variety of topics that run the gamut in the world of wrestling. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of The Great Debate Wrestling. Here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight, I have a great crew, a mixed bag. We have old school, new school, and kind of in the middle school. So let's get the old school guy first here. He is the PTBN Podfather, the co-host of the Place to Be Nation podcast, co-host of Main Event, co-host of the NWA Power Hour, my co-host on your pop over on the pop feed, Mr. Scott Criscolo. Scott, how are you tonight?
Good evening, Mr. Atherton. I didn't realize I was on with JR and Bobby Heenan. It's the Saturday special, not the Power
Whatever.
Hour. Whatever. I host the Power Hour at 10 a.m. on Sundays, bitch.
You do an NWA show on the feed, okay?
Anyway, it's good to be with you, sir. I think is this my first appearance on this show?
I think so. Well, you were on the pilot program, I guess, of this show,
yes.
When it was on Main Event a couple times. But yes, this is your first proper appearance on this show.
Well, it's great to be here, and good to be with you, sir, and these two exceptional gentlemen here at the panel. I am looking forward. This is going to be a very unique evening. I'll leave it at that.
Yes. All right, so also our kind of mid-school guy that has been amping his pod game. You can hear him on lots of shows. And the brand new show here, Highway to the Impact Zone, the Mississippi Mud Pie, Logan Crosland. Logan, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for being here tonight to chat with me and these fine gentlemen.
It's always a pleasure to be with you fellas.
And making his proper podcast debut, he actually is going to be upcoming on an episode of Body Pressure Luck, and he has appeared on a group watch on Laugh and Theater over on the Pop Feed. But this man, he's one of our favorites here at Place of the Nation, and we're hoping to get him on some pods a little more going forward. Mr. James Grunberg. Grooney, what's going on, man?
Hello, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm great. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. So, guys, we're here. We're going to talk a little wrestling tonight. We're going to throw out some fun topics. For those of you who have listened before, you kind of know what we're about. It's just kind of, fantasy booking, giving opinions, easy, fun stuff. Just have a good time tonight. Our first topic we're going to throw out to you is of the most recent set of WWE releases, not named Rusev, who do you see being the biggest success post-WWE? Scott, we'll start with you. Who do you think are the people that they kind of cleaned house with a month or so ago are going to find success outside the company?
Well, we did a segment on this on Main Event, actually, me, Nate, and Steve, right after that week it happened. Actually, it might have been like a day later, I think. Definitely the main guy, the main two guys, clearly, would be the Revival, whatever name they are now. And what I'm liking about them is they're not just going to AEW because they feel like they're obligated to because they're the only other company. There's rumors at the moment they want to go wrestle in New Japan, which I think would be very exciting. So I would say them. Probably I want to say Leo Rush as well. I could see him in AEW. Yeah, I'm going to say Leo Rush and the Revival. They're probably the and obviously Rusev, but Rusev doesn't count, obviously. Yeah. So I'm going to say Leo Rush and the Revival.
All right, Logan, what about you?
I'm going to go with EC3. I think he was really great in TNA when he was there, and they really, at some points, kind of built the whole company around him. So I think the fact that he's had success outside of WWE, which obviously for some reason they can't get him right because they've had two tries and just can't do it for some reason. But I think he could go to back to Impact maybe, or even I think he could pop up in AEW and he could have some success. So I'm going to go with EC3.
All right. Grooney, what about you? What do you say?
Well, I have two people in mind who I think are still going to do good without WWE. I think my first person superstar who I think is going to do well is Eric Rowan. Now, Eric Rowan has been injury prone, but I think, you know, AEW with Brody Lee there already, I think Eric Rowan will come over to Brody with AEW and reunite with Brody Lee. He can have great feuds. I could see him having a feud with Jericho or even Cody. You know, I think AEW will learn to use Eric Rowan the right way. Also, I think Kurt Angle can also have a good run in other companies besides WWE. He has so much to offer, and he can just coach superstars and work on their techniques along with them.
All right. Yeah, that's interesting answers. Yeah, Rowan, you know, it was funny. They before that stupid spider bullshit, they were actually starting to use the guy in a smart way. It was great to a nice pairing with Daniel Bryan, and he was starting to show some personality. So I actually kind of agree with that pick. Now, a couple of follow-up questions. Now, I asked you not to say Rusev, but where do you see Rusev landing, guys? Is he a guy that's going to end up in NWA, Scott, since that's one of your shows and you cover that every week?
I'd love to see Rusev in NWA. That'd be awesome. I think it's almost a guarantee. I think we'll see Rusev in AEW. Okay. I think he would thrive in AEW. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the Revival in NWA, to be honest. I think they'd be great there, but they're going to want more money, and they deserve more money elsewhere. EC3, I think, would be fantastic. It's funny you mentioned him, Logan. I think EC3 would be great in NWA. They need kind of a big, buff Jack guy with a little pompousness to him, maybe a guy that could work with Aldis, or Aldis could work with him. Rusev, in all likelihood, is going to be going to AEW. I don't think there's any question about that.
You guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think Rusev needs to go to a more mainstream kind of product like AEW. I think he'll thrive there, like Scott said.
I agree as well with that statement. I mean, where, like, literally, there are other places to go. But if you want to make a successful second impact, you go to AEW right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of want to strike while the iron is hot, I guess. Okay, and the last question on this subject. Now, who do you see coming back to WWE? For me, you know, I recently read today or yesterday, Rhino kind of said, you know, he's got a tag partner coming and he's got kids, so we have a feeling Heath Slater's going to show up over there in Impact. But I always thought Heath Slater was like the modern-day Brooklyn Brawler, like a guy that's kind of got like a job for life. Like, he goes out there, he'll do the jobs. He won't get the big pushes, but he'll always have work. So out of the group, who do you guys see coming back once things kind of get back to normal? They're touring again, and they have more revenue coming in, thus they could spend more money on talent.
I'll start on this one. I think like the Hawkins and the Riders and the like Slavers of the world that have been there for 10 or so years, I think those will kind of start to drizzle back in just because, you know, they've been there for forever and they served their purpose and that, you know, that they are over with some portions of the crowd. So, I mean, I think the smaller level guys like that will kind of bleed back in once they start getting back to normal.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on Hawkins and Ryder. They'll be back soon. I would not be surprised if Rusev comes back at some point in the next, you know, 5 or 6 years. I mean, anybody can come back because they know that that's the – when you get to the point in your career where you rather just have job security than anything else, WWE is the home for job security for the older guys. So I could easily see Hawkins and Ryder coming back. That might be, and Heath Slater, I agree with you, Andy, he's kind of like a Pat Patterson without any belts and no kids and kids.
And like Curtis Axel, I mean, he has, you know, family lineage. So just as little lower level guys, I think I could see a lot of them coming back.
Yeah. The lower level guys, I think have the better, I think is a higher, percentage of returning than some of the other guys. What do you think, Rooney?
Well, I believe, I think Primo and Epico could come back if WWE wants to focus on rebuilding the tag team division again. You know, they've had their runs and they could be brought back again. Kurt Angle as well. You know, if they need coaches in NXT, who else can they go to besides Kurt, really?
Yeah, I think.
I also wanted to add, Andy, I could also see Kurt Angle going to MLW because while Kurt says he has a lot to offer still in the ring, I don't believe that per se, but I believe that he has a lot to offer in training grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy's not done in the business. He may be done in the ring. I mean, he's one of those guys. I think there'll always be an open door with WWE with him. I think, you know, as long as he's not under contract to like AEW, I think we'll see him come in. Maybe if he's not under contract with them on like a per appearance thing, like they need Kurt for this, they need Kurt for that, they need a Hall of Famer for this situation or that situation. I could see Kurt like just showing up, not like a whore like Foley, but you know he could show up a lot, down the line whether he's under contract or not. All right.
I also, I mean, I know he didn't get released, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Rob Van Dam came back, you know, one more time as well.
Well, I think
he's one of those guys that has, like, a job for life.
I think they have to loosen their policy on certain substances, I think, for Rob Van Dam to come back,
yep,
as far as I know.
I've heard that.
I think they've stopped trying with him, to be honest with you. I don't even think they bother anymore, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I actually saw one of those things you see like on the social media for WWE, like top tens. I saw the top 10 Rumble return pops, and that pop for him, I can't remember what year that was, but when his music hit, and I think it was like Kane's reaction. I mean, it was pretty.
I thought it was like 2009, if I'm not mistaken, along there.
Yeah, 09, 10. It was one of those Rumbles. What Rumble was in Detroit? It was at the Joe.
Yeah.
What was it, Grooney? 10, 11, something like that.
I believe it was 09, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's right. And he wasn't one of those guys.
It was near his hometown because he's from Battle Creek,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I still love his theme music, too. Oh. All right, cool. So moving on to our next question. Grooney, we're going to start with you. If Hell in a Cell had existed since WrestleMania 1, what are some matchups or feuds that could have utilized the match gimmick?
Well, I thought long and hard about this one, and I want to say the WrestleMania 7 main event between Hogan and Slaughter for the WWF title. Because if you're going with this, you want to go to war theme. War is hell. So why not just do the battle in the Hell in the Cell? Hogan versus Slaughter, Hell in the Cell, WWF title at WrestleMania 7. I think they could put on a really great match in that atmosphere.
All right. A good one. Scott, what about you?
I don't think there's any question, and I'm looking at the two guys right now. I believe Mr. Crosland has it on his Skype avatar. I don't think there's any doubt that you could have capped off the Mega Powers, because I would have killed to see Hogan and Savage in a cell. I think that would have been amazing. What I would have done is still had the match at WrestleMania 5, had Hogan win, and then had, instead of the Zeus nonsense, had the rematch at SummerSlam at the Meadowlands in Hell in a Cell. That would have been amazing. Amazing. It might have been the greatest. I mean, it's one of my favorite SummerSlams anyway. It could have been the greatest SummerSlam of all time if you have Warrior Rude in the middle and then you end it with Hogan Savage murdering each other in a cell. I think that would have been unbelievable.
I like that.
Another feud that I think would have, and I like yours, Grooney. I like the Slaughter Hogan War thing. I like that idea. Another good one. I mean, they did it in a cage, so I probably wouldn't say Brett and Owen, because technically they did a cage at SummerSlam 94, and that's kind of the same thing. So, thinking of a good mid-card feud. Shawn Razor? Maybe?
Savage Steamboat?
You know, I was thinking of that, Logan, and you know, maybe would have given Sean Kidd maybe a 2 3/4 grade on it if you had, you know, a sell to it. Maybe he wouldn't be such, maybe he wouldn't be such a shit taker.
I think Savage, because like your PIC said on Evolution, Savage, all of his feuds had emotion to them.
And yes,
Savage,
they absolutely did.
Savage, I mean, him and Jake in the cell. What do you think of that? After everything that went down, you know, with the wedding and all that stuff.
Or maybe the Warrior versus Savage from WrestleMania 7 as well.
That would have been cool.
I also said that if Hell in a Cell would have been done the year before, Shawn Michaels versus Psycho Sid in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
Survivor Series 96. That's my second one.
Oh, I maybe could have put. They weren't really feuding by the time the cell was invented, but you could have put Austin and Brett in there. Savage is the perfect. Well, you know what, Logan? I'm sorry. Why don't you give your answers? Why don't you guys give your answers? Well, Greeny, you can give yours. Logan, give yours, and then I'll go into it.
Yeah, I had a lot of these that we were talking about already. Hogan Piper was one I wrote down.
Yes.
Oh, that'd been awesome.
Hogan Andre was another one. Savage Flair. And then I said Sean and Brett. I think all of those could have been pretty solid. Maybe not Hogan Andre, but the other three I think could have been pretty good shit kickings going on. So
I was going to say, I don't think you can really have like the big men in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
that's just me.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Logan. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think maybe Andre probably couldn't handle that kind of match at that point in his career, but I just thought the feud had such emotion to it, and it was so heated that it probably could have been a good match, at least.
To get back to your point, Andy, and I'm sure, I haven't had a chance to listen, but I'm pretty sure that you and JR brought this up. A Hell in a Cell match is... That's just Savage's playground.
Yeah.
Whether he's a babyface or a heel, he would thrive in that environment. Thrive in that environment because he's so fucking nuts that he would thrive in an environment where he could use the ring to maim his opponent, particularly if he was a heel. That's why I think the Mega Powers feud would be perfect in a cell, because he would just take Hogan and just turn him into cheeseburger. You know, I'm saying cheeseburger because like bloody. You know, bloody pulp and yellow tights, you know, kind of goes hand. You like that? I tried to bail myself out of that one. Yeah, Savage would thrive, and I think Sean, well, we know Sean would.
What are some wrestlers? Never mind like feuds or matches for a minute. What are some wrestlers that never got in the cell that would have thrived, like a la Savage? You know, what about tag teams? You know, we haven't talked about any tag teams. Maybe were the Road Warriors in there? Maybe against?
Yes.
Who would you see them against? Demolition?
I think the Steiner Brothers.
Oh, the Steiner.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, those sick fucks?
Steiners and head shrinkers?
Oh, God.
I could see Steiners and head shrinkers. Because remember, it's former Samoan SWAT team. Mm-hmm. They're used to that NWA, early WCW style of violence. I would have no problem seeing them and the Road Warriors murdering each other. And it'd be amazing. I agree with that. Anybody, go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and maybe your point will back this up for me. Anybody who would thrive from the NWA / WCW that where the matches were a little bit more violent and would thrive in that setting would be perfect for a Hell in a Cell. Midnight Express, the Russians. I mean, obviously, none of these guys. I mean, now I'm changing the question to having, what if a Hell in a Cell was in the NWA? Well, it was. It's called War Games. There were two of them.
I know. That's why I kind of like skirted around WCW.
That's if Hell in a Cell had sex. Yeah, War Games. But you would take, I mean, any of those guys that just thrive on violence. Fuck, Ole and Arn. The Horseman in a Cell. I mean, that would make sense. Yeah. But yeah, to me, it all comes down to the kind of guys that thrive in a violent environment. Somebody like Brett, I don't really know. I don't know.
Well, that's why I said Sid, because I thought that, you know, if you're going to make him crazy, that's his playground. You know, he's going to murder you there.
I agree with you.
You have to have, like, Heart Foundation, like Heel Canada. I mean, Face Canada, Heel Everywhere Else, Heart Foundation, era Brett, with all the guys on the outside.
Bulldog and,
yeah,
and
trying to get,
yeah.
get
no, I can see that, sure.
Yeah, Logan.
Like, what if you took Bulldog versus Finley and put them in the Hell in a Cell? Or, like, Regal, for that matter.
I don't know. Logan, what do you think?
I was going to say, like, the TLC guys, like Edge and Christian and Hardy Boys and Dudleys, they never did a big cage match with those guys. And, you know, they were so good with the ladders. I mean, I think they could have done crazier shit with the Hell in the Cell, and you know, Jeff could have jumped off the whole top of the thing, and you know, I think that could have been a good matchup. And going back to what Scott was saying, I think Sting's somebody that kind of lives on chaos, so I think he would have been real good in a Hell in the Cell type environment.
What about, you're talking about ECW, what about Raven and Dreamer, the end of their feud, or Sandman even in the Cell?
Definitely Raven's playground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Raven Dreamer could have had a cut. Really good Hell in a Cell.
Awesome. Great job, guys.
If you took like Mike Awesome versus Taz with them in the Cell too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great stuff. Okay, next question. I'm going to start with you, Logan. Who are some wrestlers that would have had more success had they been paired with a manager? And, who wrestlers with what manager? Give some current ones, give some past ones, whatever, however you choose to answer the question.
All right, so on this one I wrote down, insert any African-American superstar from the past decade. I'm talking about your Sheltons, your Lashleys, your Marcus Corvons, your Elijah Burks of the world. I don't really know who I would put with them, but they all just seemed to lack like one thing that put them over. So I think a manager could have helped a lot of those guys. Some of the more current people that I came up with. I came up with American Alpha. I think if Kurt could have come back around when they first debuted, I think he could have really helped them a lot and pushed them along. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had success, obviously, but I think he could have kind of pushed them over the edge, and they could be probably still one of the top teams if they were still around. And even Shelton and Gable, when they teamed up, if they put Angle with him, then I think they could have gotten a lot further. Another one I wrote down was if Arn Anderson was the Revival's manager, I think that could have been kind of really good matchup with those guys. So, those are the couple that I came up with right now. MVP right now, I think, and this will come up a little later when we do a segment later in the show, but I think he could use quite a few more people, and I think he could kind of build himself a nice stable because he already has Lashley, but I think he could add quite a few other people. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, I could see them adding some other current guys. We'll talk about maybe towards the end of this question. Grooney, what about you? What do you say about managers and wrestlers?
Well, when you first approached the question, you gave me what's going to be on the topic. For this particular one, I kept thinking Christian. I kept thinking that Christian needed a manager, and I just thought that Christian versus Christian and Bobby the Brain Heenan, I think would be, could have been a great, you know, like manager wrestler duo.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Christian being a Bobby guy. You know, Christian, although was a pretty good talker. As he, I think he, it took him a while to get there, but I think he became a good talker. All right, yeah. Any others?
I feel like, you know, going back to what Logan said about MVP, or even, you know, R-Truth for that matter, or any of those guys, it's Clarence Mason, you know? I think, feel like just Clarence Mason talked for a lot of the guys, you know? Like, if you go back to the Owen Hart and Yokozuna, it's like, oh, Clarence Mason will fix this for us, you know? You could put Clarence Mason with the New Day.
Yeah, but they're all talkers, you know, that's the thing. Is like you need like right now, like Lashley was spinning his wheels, but now he's starting to gain a little something because they're pairing him with MVP, who can get him over in a way he can't get himself over. That's really you got some guys that never needed the managers. I mean, it enhanced them, but they would have been just fine, like Kurt. Like Mr. Perfect, had Mr. Perfect never been paired with Bobby, he would have been fine. But Bobby, Bobby just, you know, kind of made him go to 11, so to speak. Scott, what do you think?
I definitely think like, it's a good one, Andy.
If you're thinking, I struggle with this one, so I don't feel bad.
Now obviously we're talking about heels, because I mean babyface managers, I mean, there aren't that many. Captain Lou, nobody likes him. Jose Lothario. Now there's a weird one. Sean was one of the best talkers of all time, and he had Jose Lothario for 9 months or whatever the fuck it was.
Paul Erling and Rocco.
God. Rocco doesn't exist in my world. He's a big pencil. Shit.
Yep.
Seth Rollins, because he's a terrible promo. He'd be good with a good manager, like he'd be good with a Bobby Heenan or even a Jimmy Hart. I mean, think of guys now that would need Paul Heyman. That's probably the easiest way to kind of quantify it, because Paul Heyman's technically a manager to a certain extent. I know everyone would like to say Roman Reigns, but he's a babyface. There's no need for him to have a manager. If he was a heel, I think if he ever turned like full-blown legit heel, he would definitely need a manager. I don't know who that could be, but he would probably need because his heel promos would probably suck.
I mean, you put Heyman with Ronda Rousey, that fixes most of Ronda's problems.
Yeah, Ronda. Yeah. You know what it is about Ronda? The UFC style of cutting promos is not totally like legit. So, she didn't come off as totally genuine when she was in the babyface part of her run, which was most of it, I suppose. So it's interesting. I think Ronda would be great with a manager. I think Bayley would be good with a manager because her heel promos are terrible.
Oh yeah.
I think she'd be good with him. I think she could use a mouthpiece, like a Luna, or
Shmoola.
Shmoola, Lanny Kai. I mean
Bayley, honey.
Yeah. I would say Bayley, Seth Rollins could use a manager. Damian Priest, he could use like a, you know, some kind of.
I'd say like Murphy.
Yeah, I could see Blake Murphy in a faction or something. Oh, interesting. it's a tough question, Andy. I like that one. It's not easy. Not easy.
No, yeah. It's one, you know, it goes back to, it's been going back for years that, you know, you have a guy that has all the talents in the ring, but he can't cut a promo. He can't get himself over. in other ways. And you know, sometimes it's just as it works if you just turn them heel and you let them, you know, crank up their personalities like The Rock. I mean, even Ernest Miller to an extent. Like, some of the guys, like, you know, you have your Milquetoast baby faces that are great and in the ring, but, you know, they can't get any reaction.
And you know, Ernest Miller would be a great manager now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like him and R-Truth would make, like, a great, like, tag team.
I mean, I could imagine him and, like, MVP jaw-jacking at each other. You know, he comes.
What'd you say about my mama?
Yeah, just imagine the batshit crazy promos between Ernest Miller and R-Truth together. all right, so we're going to move on to our question on the move. Every episode, I like to throw out a move type and have the panel kind of go over like what the who had the best version of it or different variations. And this episode, we're going to talk about the top rope splash. So many variations that when it's done right, it's just beautiful to watch and just gets the crowd over, great pops. But when it's not, it makes you cringe. So, Scott, let's talk about some top rope splashes. Who do you think has some of your favorites or the best? And what kind of variations are you preferable to?
Well, we're not talking about quality of human being, obviously. But look, I'm the man. No one gets much more old school than me. I'll take Jimmy Snuka's splash any day of the week. He got high off the ground, off the top rope, and he put full force of his. It was kind of like Eddie's. Frog splash. Because there are different types of top rope splashes. Like, yep. RVD's frog splash was very high and arcing and kind of and loped to the ring. Eddie threw his body at the ring. So his top rope splash was very straightforward and down. And a lot of guys elevate instead of throw their body straight down. But I've always loved Jimmy Snuka's. I mean, you could talk about like Val Venus's. The Money Shot was a decent splash. But I'm just going to keep it old school, Scumbag or not. I got to go with Jimmy Snuka. He'll always have the greatest top rope splash of all time.
Okay. Logan, what about you?
Yeah, he actually stole both of them. yes, Jimmy Snuka, from like a straight up splash perspective, he definitely has the best. Eddie, the frog splash is probably one of my favorite finishing moves. I love stuff off the top rope, and his was always it just looked like he was shot out of a gun. I mean, he went straight down into the impact, and I like RVD's frog splash, but I don't really like the heightened part of it as much, and I always liked how Eddie just went straight into it and just really dove real fast like a torpedo.
Yeah, a little too fast. He popped his elbow out his first night.
Yeah, that's true.
that was cringy to watch.
there's variations like the 450. I like some of those. Justin Gabriel always had the best one to me of those, but I'll let Grooney talk about some of his.
All right, Grooney.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with you guys. I really liked Rob Van Dam's splash over Eddie's frog splash, because I believe that Rob Van Dam's he could expand himself to go three-fourths of the ring. So if your opponent is literally over here and Van Dam's over there, it felt like he pressed himself so well to really like land on the chest from so far away. Mm-hmm. And then I always give credit where credit is due. I feel like Billy Kidman perfected the shooting star press. It felt like he was shot out of a cannon, and instead of catching the trapeze when you do the flip, he would just land right good on the chest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point about RVD. In RVD, for him, it didn't matter how the opponent was laying. That man twisted himself to land the right way. The guy could have been... totally worst way possible, he still would have hit it perfectly. I was going to say, for 450, I thought Juventud Guerrero wasn't terrible. It was pretty good. The shooting star, go ahead.
Like Paul London's 450, but then like the only like scary time like I didn't like the shooting star press was when Billy Kidman almost like ended Chavo Guerrero's career. If you ever watched that tape.
All right. Nobody said any moonsaults. What about some moonsaults that you guys love?
If Kurt Angle could have landed the moonsault, it'd be his. But if we see from time to time, he never does.
Kurt's moonsault was always great, but he rarely hit it. And another shooting star, Evan Bourne's was always real pretty to look at. So I like that one pretty good.
You know, D'Lo Brown's frog splash wasn't that bad for a guy his size. You know, he was able to hit it. What about was it Thunder Liger? Didn't Thunder Liger used to use a moonsault in his repertoire? Or was I why am I confusing him with another Japanese wrestler?
Maybe. I mean, Liger used everything.
Yeah.
Over time in his career, so.
I mean, Jericho's the Jericho salt, whatever you call it, lion salt.
Lion salt. Mm-hmm. Well, that's off the ropes, not really off the top rope, per se.
That's true.
Somebody, I'll tell you something. EIEIO Shirai's moonsault is pretty damn good, as we saw firsthand earlier in the week. Hers is kind
of
awesome.
What do you guys think of Charlotte's?
Yeah, as a Charlotte's outside the ring's pretty good, so that's a good one.
Oh yeah, well wasn't John Morrison's that? Didn't John Morrison used to like do it where like he would like his legs would hit and then he would do like the corkscrew?
Yeah, Starship Pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about Twisted Bliss? What do you guys think of that move?
I know a few people that like the Twisted Bliss.
Yeah, they like to twist her bliss, I know.
No, but that's a good one.
Going back to Kurt Angle's moonsault, can we all agree that one off the cage with Benoit, I thought he broke his jaw because it looked like it hurt. It hit so hard that I thought the jaw was broken there.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. That one was
rough.
Because he's got a big chin and it looks like wham. It was like, oh, he does have a big chin.
We also got the Usos. Their splashes are pretty damn good.
Yes. They're violent with their splashes. That's a good one, Andy.
Because, they also rear back. Like, they kind of like, with the stick of the tongue out and the chest goes out. You know, they kind of hit with some good impact there.
What about Tamina? I'm just
playing. All right, you're off the show.
She splashed her career. Clearly the apple fell very far from the tree.
I don't know if Nia Jax is doing any splashes either.
Maybe if they
surprise Groody and say the lead assault.
Vader doing a moonsault with his size is pretty awesome.
Remember the one time the Giant did it? I think everybody backstage at WCW had a heart attack. He did it on Nitro that one time. I think it was.
Yep.
I don't know who his opponent was, but I would have shit myself if I saw him go to the top ropes.
Or the Brock Lesnar WrestleMania 19 shooting star press.
Yes. Yeah,
there's no
a
need.
A failed one.
Yeah, he could have killed
him. He landed straight on his head.
Too far away.
Show did.
He tried.
All right, cool. All right, so we're going to play a little game. We're going to go around the horn. I'm going to name some guys, and you're going to tell me if you think they'll ever come to the WWE on the active roster, be in the WWE Hall of Fame, or sign a Legends deal with the company. All right? So we're going to start with Logan. Nick Aldis, do you see him coming in any of those capacities?
If he comes in any capacity, I think it would be a Legends deal, maybe. He's married to Mickey James, and she still works for WWE, so maybe later on in his career he could come over in kind of a part-time kind of role and wrestle a few kind of dream matches. But I don't think he'll ever come in and be active roster. I think he kind of likes his freedom on the independent scene, so and he's huge in NWA, so I think he may come in a Legends deal, but he may not come in at all at the same time.
What do you think, Rooney?
I'm going to have to go with Logan. I don't think that he's going to make the active roster list. I think that he's going to make the Legends list as well.
Okay. Scott?
You broke up a little bit, Andy. Which guy are you talking about?
Nick Aldis.
Oh, Nick Aldis? Oh, the national treasure. The current world's heavyweight champion. I could see him on the active roster at some point.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can. Sure.
Maybe one of those guys that gets that one, kind of like AJ, where he shows up,
yes.
Gets a three-year deal just to...
Back end of his career, get some big matches, he'll make some money, and then maybe he'll go work for NXT UK. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to go active roster for him.
All right, cool. All right. Grooney, we've talked about this guy a few times. Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam, I feel he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that he has heat with WWE. You know, we've seen him have spectacular matches over the years. I think it's his rightful place to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
All right. Scott, where do you see RVD ending up with the company? He'll
be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt. No, he's in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Logan?
Yeah, I'm going to go Hall of Fame as well on that one. He definitely deserves it, and I think that'll be kind of his next thing with WWE.
Okay. All right, Scott, a couple of ladies. Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, the beautiful people.
I don't know if they'll ever make the active roster. I think they would have by now. Mm-hmm. Legends deal.
All right. Logan.
I went Legends deal on this one too. I believe Velvet is dating Bubba Ray Dudley, or they're married or something like that.
Yeah.
They're married. Okay. If the Dudleys maybe come back and do, you know, one last reunion run, maybe I could see them being in the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble at some point. But, I think I'd go Legends deal.
That's interesting. That would be a decent pop, like a one-off. You can have one or both of them in there, especially if they could play their music. Oh, I think that would be a killer spot. Grooney, what about you?
I'm going to also have to say a Legends deal. Mm-hmm. I believe that the beautiful people, you know, they have done their time and they're in Impact. I don't see them on the active roster in WWE. I don't know where their place would be. With the Legends deal, they can help out in NXT. Just make sporadic appearances.
Mm-hmm. All right. Logan, Justin Gabriel.
I'm actually going to go Hall of Fame on this one. I think he will eventually go in with Nexus.
Ah.
That was just such a huge angle. And he's another one of those guys like Aldis. I think he kind of enjoys being on the independents and, you know, kind of traveling the world and being in different promotions. I think he kind of enjoys that freedom a lot more. So I don't really see him coming back and being on the active roster. But I think one day in, you know, 10 or 15 years, Nexus will probably go in. So I think Hall of Fame on him.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if he would have been part of it because it came out in the last few weeks that they were going to do something with the Nexus this year since it was the 10-year anniversary. So I wonder if he would have been part of it. Interesting.
Yeah, he may could have gotten him on a one-off or something to that effect, but who knows?
All right. Grooney, what do you think?
I'm going to also have to say I would agree with Logan, the Hall of Fame. If you put the Nexus in, you know, they were a great faction, you know. It's like, don't mess with us, you know. We're going to take over.
Wow, that would be something. Michael Tarver and Ryback and Darren Young, Hall of Famers. Oof.
Hey, the barrel's going to be empty before too long, so yes, they're going to have to do what they can do.
Yeah. Scott, what do you think?
Coco Beware's in the Hall of Fame. No. none of the above. what made you pick this one? This is terrible.
you praise me. What? You are very fickle. You're stealing Susan's gimmick.
Your choices are very fickle. That's why. You're a fickle choicer.
Somebody's not invited.
Legends deal.
All right.
Oh, I could see him coming back to the active roster down the line for a quick run.
Yeah. Like, you could maybe see him like McIntyre. You know, didn't really do that much his first time around. Goes back, gets, you know, finds himself and comes back a bigger star than when he left.
Yep. I could see that, sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, our last one, Gruny, the Steiner brothers.
Okay. For Rick, I can see a legend zeal. For Scott, none of the above. Because Scott is Mr. I hate everybody at this point. He said in numerous interviews, I'm not going into the WWE Hall of Fame. It's a joke. I'm going to kill Hulk Hogan and his wife. You know, we all know that story. You know? If you see this man on site, arrest him. You know, Scott Steiner, I think, has broken every straw in the camel's back. Not to be welcome back to WWE.
All right.
Personal opinion.
All right, Scott, what do you say?
I hate disagreeing with Gruny. It makes me cry. I think they go in the Hall of Fame, actually. I do. They're one of the greatest tag teams of all time. You can't not put them in. I definitely think, look, I saw an interview with Steiner. He was in the NWA briefly in December. He was actually January. He was at the Hard Times pay-per-view. He's definitely mellowed. He's definitely mellowed. Even back when I saw him many years ago at a kind of a Legends house show out at City Field in Queens, where he was a fucking psycho. But he definitely has leveled out over the last few years, and Rick is Rick. So for me, I think it's a no-brainer. They're in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Good. Logan, what do you think?
I just wrote, not going to happen. they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but I think, I like Gruny said, I think Scott's just broken every bridge that could ever be built between him, Triple H, Vince, all those people. I mean, I think he pretty adamant that he just can't stand Triple H. So even when Triple H eventually takes over, I can't see it. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rick, maybe a Legends deal or something like that, but I don't know how much that would be worth it at this point anyways.
Scott's just too crazy.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I could see them doing a Legends deal simply to make figures. Don't forget, yeah, guys, that's really one of the main reasons why they do Legends deals, is so they can make toys and shirts. So I could easily at least see that. But I don't know. I think I could see them going in the Hall, and I could see Scott behaving himself, I think.
Yeah, I think. Maybe. I think once Scott, like, you know, is older and probably off whatever juice he's on, hopefully one day.
Maybe he's got to camp at a DDP's house.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him at a couple of episodes of NWA Power, and I watched the Hard Times pay-per-view. He's definitely much smaller. He's definitely not on the sauce anymore. He's running Shoney's, man. He's running Shoney's. I may stop at a Shoney's at some point this summer, so I hope to see him. I forgot which one he runs, but
Ackworth.
One in Ackworth.
So, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, great job, guys. Awesome first segment. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're gonna play a game and have these guys build their dream factions with Scott Criscolo, Logan Crosland, and James Grunberg, a.k.a. Gruny. I am Andy Afton. Stick around. We'll be right back. Place to Be Nation, welcome back to The Great Debate Wrestling, episode number 3. I am your host, Andy Atherton. I'm hanging out here with Scott Criscolo, James Gruenberg, and Logan Crosland. We're going to get to our big topic, our big breakdown tonight. But first, let's talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Over here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, plenty of great shows. The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, which is co-hosted by Scott and JT Rosero, takes you through the history of the WWE chronologically. Scott, you also co-host with Nate and Steve, Main Event. Breaks down all of the current events in the world of wrestling. Row 1, Seat 1, interesting look at the world of small-town wrestling and beyond with host Ben Zani. Welcomes a variety of guests every other week. You have Talking WCW, which has the Center Stage Theater, where Tim Cable, Greg Phillips, and Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South. Body Pressure Luck. Not brand new anymore. It's almost episode 7 coming up. Wrestling Game Show hosted by JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan. I am also on that. I am the third man in the booth. With This Ring, which husband and wife Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss specific matches and their respective fandoms. You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw and his friend Jordan watch and discuss some of the greatest pro wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan in search of a universal connection and pro wrestling storytelling. Also, don't forget lots of great other shows like the Pay-Per-View reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, and Special Relations. Much, much more. And over on the Place Nation Pop feed, great shows all the time on that. We have Laughing Theater, which is one of my shows. It's a live movie watch every episode. Latest episode was Major League with Derek Cornett. I suggest you check it out. Also, The Great Debate. I have a regular pop culture and sports version that I host over there. Glenn Butler podcast, Hour Spectacular, brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler and his family and friends. You're in pop. Scott, you and I, you co-host that, and we are always joined by Dr. G and D'Amato. It's our deep dive into pop culture year by year. We're at 1983 will be the next episode. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world for in-depth conversations. And It Was a Thing on TV, with a trio of hosts looking at obscure, short-lived, fun television shows. Don't forget, check out our two associate feeds. That's the Jenny position, brought to you by Miss Jennifer Smith, home of great shows like Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, The Journey Through Infinity, Bianca's First Time, Telling Stories, much, much more. And the North-South Connection podcast feed, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. Great shows over there, like Talking Extreme Three-Way Dance, much, much more. We have Wrestling Warzone, The Holds Barred, Carolina Dreamin'. Great stuff from those guys. Check that out. 5 pods a week. They are a beast over there. So, back to the night here, The Great Debate Wrestling. And our topic here in the B block is, I'm going to have these guys, we're going to go round robin around the room. I'm going to have them start two factions each of current wrestlers. We're going to do it. They have to do a heel faction and a face faction. And they have to include the following roles: the manager or leader, the superstar, the muscle, the light heavyweight, the tag team, and the woman wrestler. So kind of built like, you know, your own Dangerous Alliance, your Evolution, your Horseman, however you want to call it. All right. Scott, yeah, we're going to kind of go around. Let's start with your heel factions, guys. And we'll kind of go each row and we'll have everybody instead of going all the way down the list. All right. So, Scott, who is the manager or leader of your heel faction?
Now, I can go anywhere, not just WWE, right? I can go all over the place?
Nope, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Fantasy booking.
My manager, I think, would have to be... Wow, this is tough. Really, there aren't any manager leaders anywhere in this day and age. They're all wrestlers. Let's see.
Well, they could be. You could be your leader. That could be your wrestler slash like.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H was the leader of Evolution, right?
Right. I'm gonna go with. Paul Heyman.
All right. Good start. Logan, who's your heel manager of your heel faction?
I'm going to go with MVP on that one.
All right. Grooney, what about you? Who's your manager?
I'm going to go with Shane McMahon.
I like that.
That's a good one. All right. Scott, who's your superstar?
Roman Reigns.
Okay. And this is heel. Heel Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Logan, who's your superstar?
Lashley.
All right. Good one. And Grooney, who's your superstar?
Randy Orton.
All right, Scott, who is your muscle? Your Batista, your Arn, I guess.
Brian Cage.
Wow, this is a hot faction already. Yeah. Logan, who's your muscle?
I'm going to go with Big E on this one. I'm going to have him turn heel on Kofi and Xavier.
Nice. Grooney.
I'm going to go with Samoa Joe.
All right. Those are some good, interesting factions. Scott, who's your light heavyweight? Who's your X-Pac?
Zack Sabre Jr. He's smug enough to be a good heel light heavyweight.
All right.
Steve Willie would love that answer. So,
shout out to the conscience.
Shout
Logan.
Out to the conscience.
I'm going to go Apollo Crews for my light heavyweight.
Okay. And Grooney.
I'm going to take Sami Zayn.
Okay. Good one. All right.
It's a good one. I like that one.
Scott, who's your tag team?
Oh, the Revival.
All right. Logan.
Street Profits. They're going to turn heel, too.
All right. Grooney.
The Usos.
Okay. And lastly, Scott, who's your woman wrestler? Who's your Medusa?
I have a three-way tie. Any one of these three ladies would fit perfectly in this heel stable. Scarlett Bordeaux, Bianca Belair, or Camille in NWA.
Okay.
Any one of those three would be perfect, great heel women to protect them and slap the baby faces in the face and dare them to slap her. Yeah, perfect.
All right. Logan, who's your female?
I'm going to go with Bianca Belair.
Okay. And Grooney.
I'm going to go with Nia Jax.
All right. So we got our heel factions. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk about each of the factions you guys just built for a bit. So, Scott, your faction is managed by Heyman, and we got Roman Reigns, Brian Cage, Zack Sabre Jr., The Revival, and one of Scarlett, Bianca, Camille. Logan and Grooney, what do you guys think of Scott's faction? How do you see that working out?
Definitely some hosses on that one. The two good picks with Roman and Brian Cage. Then you have your technical guy with Sabre Jr. I think Camille would probably be my pick out of the three women that he selected. Okay. But I like that faction pretty good. I think Heyman could do good, some good with those guys.
All right. Grooney, what do you think of Scott's heel faction?
I like Scott's heel faction with Heyman. I would go with Bianca Belair. The whole hair whip thing is just like, it just feels like it's heelish itself. You know, like I'm gonna I'm going to hit you with this. You know, it's going to hurt.
She could choke with it, too.
Yeah, like, you know, she has, like, just her hair is the heel itself.
Yeah, it's funny, though. Now she's getting known mostly by the "you don't even go here" phrase, though, which is probably one of the best lines I've heard in a long time. All right, so Logan's heel faction, managed by MVP, you got Lashley, Big E, Apollo Crews, Street Profits, and Bianca Belair. A lot of heel turns to make this one happen. Scott and Grooney, what do you guys think of this faction? Scott, go with you first.
Read it again.
So we got MVP's your manager, and you got Lashley, Big E, Apollo Crews, the Street Profits, and Bianca Belair.
I like it. Daunting, a lot of muscle. I could see Bianca kind of like, you know, rubbing Lashley's large chest and then choking out his opponent. Yeah, I like that. I like the charisma in that group. Oh, yeah. Because Lashley, I was a big Lashley fan in 06, 07. I think he lost it for me now, but he's a guy that always put over his power moves. He's a good power guy. And I could see him like with a belt draped over his chest and Bianca like petting it and stuff, you know, running her long hair around him and then choking out opponents with it. Yeah, I could see that. And that smug Apollo Crews smirk. Yeah, I like that, Logan.
Yeah,
good crew there.
And then you got Big E and Montez, the real talker personality guys, who are both hysterical. Grooney, what do you think of that faction?
I like it. I like MVP in the management role. I think that he reminds me of like a, you know, like a Hollywood agent, you know, like you can see him with like, you know, the Heyman cell phone, you know, like, "Hey man, I want you to come work for me." Mm-hmm. You know, very persuasive.
Yeah. Hopefully they do something. Art imitates life. Or life imitates art. That's the phrase backwards. Scratch it. Whatever. All right. So Grooney, your faction is headed up by Shane O'Mac, and you got Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn, The Usos, and Nia Jax. Logan, what do you think of this heel faction?
I'm getting kind of a Main Event Mafia vibe from this one. I really like the combination of talent. I think The Usos are a real good pick as a tag team. I think Shane could be a pretty good conniving leader of the faction. So I'm a fan. I think I like it.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what do you think?
I agree with the Main Event Mafia thing. I mean, Orton's is always good at being just a smug douche. So he fits that slot perfectly. Him and Shane O'Mac, like the head of the smug douche patrol. Yeah, I like that. They're perfect in that fucking frat boy asshole kind of thing.
The SDP, the smug douche patrol.
The smug douche patrol.
Make the t-shirts now.
There you go, Grooney. SDP, you're a millionaire now. Yeah, I like that crew. I like that crew. And Nia is like, you know, they think she's all like smoking hot and everything. Yeah, no, I think that would be fun. I think, well, Nate will clearly. Nate will definitely buy a shirt for this faction. So.
I can see like the Usos like saying, I can see the Usos saying something and then hiding behind Nia. Like,
oh, definitely. Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Somebody go pitch this t-shirt to Conrad.
Selling it at the next.
Come on, Nia, protect me, cuz.
Because
All right, we're gonna build our face factions now. We're gonna start with you, Logan. Who's your manager?
I'm gonna go Kurt Angle on this one.
All right, Grooney, who's your face manager?
I'm gonna go with Shawn Michaels.
Oh, okay. Scott, who's your face manager?
Do they have to be alive? I guess they do, huh?
Yeah.
Shit. I was gonna say Dusty.
Oh.
Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy.
Okay.
He'd be good kind of... Where do you see how this faction's going to go?
Depends on... I was actually checking out AEW earlier. And it's like he's switching between all of his personalities. Between version one, broken Matt Hardy, Team Extreme Matt Hardy. It's pretty hysterical.
I was going to say, if he gets Shed and Moore to come back, that'd be great.
All the Omegas.
Kill my little MF-er.
Logan, who's your superstar face on this team?
Daniel Bryan.
All right. Grooney, what about you?
It's tough, right?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
He's Googling.
I'm going to go Kevin Owens.
All right.
That'd be hilarious.
Scott, who's your superstar?
Triple H. No, I'm just kidding.
He's the superstar of your dreams. I know that.
That's true, yes. Nate and I on a double date with Triple H and Nia Jax. Oh, boy. Okada.
Okay. Logan, who's your muscle?
Cesaro.
Oh, nice work rate. Faction building here. Grooney, who's your muscle?
Drew McIntyre.
Okay. And Scott, who's your muscle on your face faction?
In honor of Grooney, I'm going with Tank Abbott. No, I'm just kidding. You knew I was going to go. I had to throw a little 2000 WWE in there.
Kill Scott.
That's true. I can make Tank Abbott smiley.
You could just get Hugh Morris.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true, yeah. let's see. Face muscle. Face muscle. I gotta think. Interesting. Drew McIntyre. I'll have to go with Grooney on that one.
Yeah, all right. Logan, who is your light heavyweight?
Drew Gulak.
Okay.
As a face. Interesting.
Grooney, who's yours?
I'm going to go with Shelton Benjamin.
Okay. And Scott, who's your light heavyweight?
Johnny Gargano.
Okay.
Johnny Wrestling.
All right. Logan, who's your face tag team?
I'm going to go with the Broserweights, Pete Dunne, and Matt Riddle.
Okay. Grooney, what about you?
Well, I'm going to put my tag team together. I'm going to take Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy and make them into a tag team.
All right.
Good team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scott, what about you?
I am going to go with the current NWA World Tag Team Champions, Eli Drake, and the Cowboy, James Storm, because we need some beer drinking and some salty language in my face stable. So.
All right. So. And Logan, who's your female? Who's your woman wrestler?
I'm going to go with Toni Storm on this one.
Oh, okay. And Grooney?
I'm going to go with Natalia.
Is Natty Heat the new Xbox Heat?
It is with me and Scott.
Natty is like the only one who doesn't get booed anymore.
It's because nobody cares. Fucking cat gets more heat.
All right, Scott, who's your female on your face faction?
Tessa Blanchard.
All right. So let's go through them. All right, Logan. Logan's face faction is headed up by Kurt Angle with Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Drew Gulak, the Broserweights, and Tony Storm. Gruny, what do you think of this face faction?
I like it. I like, you know, Kurt Angle can really, you know, pump up the superstars of this faction. Got Daniel Bryan, who's a great leader and is like, you know, can be a great superstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the work rate faction. Scott, what do you think of it?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. It's a crowd pumper, high energy on all these guys.
High energy.
I think all of Gruny's face faction should have checkered taxi pants, and I think that'd be amazing. Logan, well, he's got a great faction. A lot of shoot guys there. Hard workers. Yeah, I like that crew.
All right, cool. Gruny's faction is headed up by HBK. When you got Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Shelton Benjamin, Rey Mysterio, and Jeff Hardy as your tag team, and Natalya. Logan, what do you think of this face faction?
I really like the tag team of Hardy and Mysterio. I can't be okay with the Natalya part, but other than that, I like Rey's faction a lot.
I was gonna say that's fair enough, you know. I just think it's because Natty just doesn't get booed.
Who would you put in this faction besides Natty, if you had a choice?
I had a choice.
Well, it's more directed at Logan since he.
Yeah, if Logan had a choice.
Come back to me on that one. Let me think about it.
All right, Scott, what do you think of Gruny's faction?
I think they'd be amazing baby faces if they fired Natty on the air. That would be amazing. No, I actually love the Hardy combo with Ray. I think those guys, crowds will love them. That's a great pick. That's a great combo there, Gruny, putting them together, because that's great face heat right there. I think again, HBK will pump the crowd up. He'll, you know, and Kevin Owens and Sean would be good promo bounce off each other, insulting heels. So yeah, I like that. I like that. Logan, I'll pick for you while you're thinking. Let's see. I mean, I get it. I get where Gruny's coming from. She's supposed to, you know, she's goody goody, pink and black. She's Brett's niece, yada yada yada. But I would go with like a Tegan Knox.
Yeah.
Or because Gruny's got a very Federation era happy baby faces. Well, except coked up Jeff Hardy, but he makes everybody happy. but he's got a very Federation heavy kind of group. So I think somebody like a Lita, although she's not wrestling now. We're talking current.
She makes appearances.
Let me think.
You could throw like a Nikki Cross in there, maybe. She
yeah.
Kind of be chaotic and
chaotic, you know, and kooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe Thunder Rosa. Look at me with all my NWA picks. Yeah. But I do like. But I mean, they're. I mean, I get where Gruny's coming from. I don't fault him for picking her. But I do like – he does have a high face energy level on his team. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. And then Scott's faction. We got headed up by Matt Hardy. And we got Okada, Drew McIntyre, Johnny Gargano, Eli Drake, and James Storm, and Tessa Blanchard. Gruny, what do you think of this face faction?
I think it's very good. I do take. I'm half and half of Hardy being the mouthpiece.
Okay.
Okay.
Why is that? You think he should be more?
Don't know. Like, I mean,
he's not there yet in his career.
Like, I just don't think that he should. I never really thought that Matt could. could talk. He can put on like great promos, but like I just don't think like he's the starting guy for me.
Okay. All right, Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, anything involving Eli Drake has me won over. So I like the tag team of him and James Storm, and I love Tessa Blanchard. I think Matt, you know, I think if he could play the kooky, crazy guy sometimes, but I think he could be a pretty good leader. But I overall like Scott's faction.
Yeah, yeah, and a great pick on James Storm. He's one of my favorite guys. He's up there with guys, you know, who had multiple tag partners, and they were all great. America's Most Wanted was great. You know, Beer Money was great.
And yep. Then
I have not seen this team yet, but I can assume from you pinning them on the team, you think highly of them.
Oh, they're amazing. I've watched them multiple times. They're the current tag team champions. Yeah, but I mean, I get it. I took a risk with Matt Hardy, but I thought that he could be the kind of guy that could whip the crowd up by just acting weird. And I think he would be good for Okada, since Okada doesn't speak a ton of English. I think he'd be a good guy to kind of put him over. He would wear colorful robes like Matt would wear colorful robes. And I don't know. I just thought there was a good, like, face symmetry with those guys. But I could see people – the criticism's fair. I think I probably took a bit of a risk there, but you know, I gave it a shot. No, I think he's a guy that I think could help put over some of these guys, particularly someone like Okada, who technically doesn't speak a ton of English, although I have heard him speak English. It's not great. So but anyway.
Yeah, Matt could kind of go in his condition, I can interpret for him, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very it could be very not PC. If they weren't
then
careful.
It could be a little lowbrow, I guess. But
like how everybody, you know, understood the guy. The was it the Amazing Yen in Ocean's 11? I mean, basically everybody understood what Ellie said. All right. So awesome job, guys! Thank you for playing the game, and you all did tremendous. Now we're on to the last part of our show. It is our rapid fire round. The round where quite often Scott will tell me I suck or be called a son of a bitch. So let's have that.
You haven't started yet. You make it an A+.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you always...
But your definition of rapid fire is very loose. So.
Yeah, yeah, I don't do anything rapid. Well,
35-minute rapid fire.
Yeah. You're talking about D'Amato, though. D'Amato would have something to say about that. Oh, I'm the king of rapid. Oh, I tell you, I don't even get to there. Oh, anyway. All right, our first one. We're gonna start with you, Scott. We're gonna talk about the Crucifix Powerbomb. Do you like the Razor's Edge or the Celtic Cross?
Razor's Edge.
All right, Logan.
Razor's Edge.
All right, Gruny. What do you think?
Razor's Edge.
All right, clean sweep. All right, Logan. We'll start with you on this one. Ron Simmons tag teams, the APA or Doom.
I'll go APA on that one.
All right. Gruny.
APA.
All right. Scott?
Doom.
Yeah. I had a feeling you were going to go that way.
Yeah. I love
it. All right. This is a good question. Kind of fitting based on the last game. We're going to talk about the Divas of Destruction, little mini faction tag team. So, Gruny, Beth Phoenix or Natalya? I can't make this shit up.
You are so pathetic.
I wrote these before I knew it was going to be on the show.
I got to go with Beth Phoenix, actually. That's bad. Thanks a lot, Andy.
I can't wait to see this when I put it up on the Facebook page. Scott? Logan, should I just cross off Beth for both of you guys?
Yeah, give me the Phoenix one.
All right, Scott, back to you. We're going to talk about some gimmicks. Police gimmicks, so to speak. The Big Boss Man or the Mountie?
Oh. Do you know who I am? I'm the Mountie.
I got to go with Boss Man. Mm-hmm. You ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia? Respect the law and order.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Logan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Boss Man on that one. That one's hard, though.
Yeah. All right. Gruny.
Hmm. You know, I'm going to shift the other way. I'm going to go with the Mountie.
Hey, now there's a tremendous gimmick. You know, he owned it.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, you know.
Yeah, that's like saying, would you rather take a nightstick or would you rather take the stun gun, you know?
That's true. Okay, Logan. We're going to talk a couple of ring announcers. Tony Chimmel or Gary Michael Capetta?
Oh, Gary Michael Capetta all the way.
All right. Gruny.
Tony Chimmel.
All right. Scott.
Oh, GMC. Easy. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is Sting.
Yeah, well, and then you got Tony Chimmel. Superstar. I think that was his big...
No, it's more like Superstar.
All right. Gruny, Stevie Richards factions, Right to Censor or the BWO?
BWO.
All right. Scott?
Oh, easily the BWO.
All right. Logan?
Yeah, BWO. If you answer RTC, you're a narc.
All right.
That's also because if like I've talked to everyone, like I've met people in the RTC, they're like, yeah, I hated it.
Did they hate them or did they hate it? I mean, it was like, the job of the gimmick was to get heat.
So. Well, Godfather definitely hated Steven Richards.
Oh, I'm talking about the people in the faction. Okay.
Godfather hated him. And it's like, well, they took away my real gimmick and they gave me something else.
Well, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, we're going to talk about a couple of weapons. A kendo stick or a steel chair?
Steel chair.
All right. Logan?
So I'll go steel chair as well.
All right. Gruny?
Kendo stick.
All right. Logan, we're going to talk about a couple of basic moves that are still really, you know, everyday moves, but done well, they can look really good. So do you prefer the hip toss or the arm drag?
I'm going to go with arm drag.
All right. Gruny.
I'm going to go hip toss.
All right. And Scott.
Well, if you asked Sean Kidd, he'd say hip toss because arm drags remind him of that terrible wrestler, Ricky Steamboat. So I'm going to go with arm drag.
God, the way Ricky Steamboat would get parallel with the mat, basically. Oh, those were awesome. All right, Scott, we're talking about which member of Too Cool you like more, Sky Too Hotty or Grandmaster Sex A?
Oh, my namesake, of course. Trust me, if you watch the main event, you'll learn to really hate Brian Lawler in many ways. So definitely Scotty Too Hotty.
Logan?
Grandmaster 6, I always had the goggles, so I'll go with him.
All right. Gruny.
Grandmaster 6, he could do a leg drop off the top rope, so Grandmaster.
All right. And finally, we're going to talk Chris Jericho themes. Break the Walls Down or Judas? Logan.
I'll go with Judas. I hate saying it, but that one's better, right. I think.
Gruny?
Break the Walls Down, no doubt.
All right. And Scott?
Oh, Break the Walls Down.
All right.
It's iconic.
All right, cool. Awesome, guys. Great rapid fire. And that's going to bring a close to our episode. But before we go, we'll kind of go around the horn and kind of say what everybody's got going on here in terms of pods, website, whatever you want to promote. Here's your time. And Scott? You're on a lot of stuff. Is that all we're going to say? Or do you want to point people to anything?
Follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. Please follow the Place to Be Wrestling Network. We're awesome over there, including all the gentlemen on this show. And let's keep doing it.
All right. Logan, what do you got to promote?
The Chicken Salad came out earlier this week. That's me, Sean Kidd, and Ben Locke looking back at Great American Bash 1991. We try to kind of find the positives in some pretty negative shows. It was a lot of fun to record. Also, tomorrow I have the Highway to the Impact Zone coming out. That's kind of a retrospective look back through the Impact era. JT and Aaron and Jenny are kind of starting from the very beginning. We kind of chose to start from when Impact starts. Our first episode's actually on the last weekly pay-per-view before the first Impact. It's going to be weekly pay-per-view 97, but that was a ton of fun to record. It was me, Jacob, and Sean, and my friend Lewis made his podcast debut. So that's a lot of fun, and we should be recording the next episode fairly soon.
Mm-hmm. And you also, on one of the more recent episodes of Laugh in Theater, you and I got to watch Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
That's right. That was a lot of fun as
well. That was a ton of fun. Grudy. Now, by the time you hear this, you may or may not have been on Body Pressure Luck. We don't know how you did. also, though, you were on one of our special Laugh in Theater extra episodes where we watched, was it Ready to Rumble with you?
Yeah, we watched Ready to Rumble. And I'd just like to say, you know, with this group of podcasts, you know, there's a little bit of something for everybody, you know, old school, new school, Impact, WWE, you know, check me out. I'm going to be a guest on a couple of your podcast shows, the Ruthless Aggression Era podcast. When we get to the month of May, I'll be on covering the Raw and SmackDown with Jacob that week.
All right, cool. Yeah, you can see that, find that on the North-South Connection podcast feed.
With many North other South Connection. Mm-hmm.
Many other great shows. As for me, like I said earlier, check out episodes of Laugh in Theater, last few, Days of Confused with Todd Weber, and Major League with Derek Cornett. New episode of Great Debate coming very soon on the Pop feed, which we're actually going to be a pop culture only episode. Figure, why talk about sports if we really don't have any at the moment? So let's keep it within the world of things that we can do while we're in the current situation. And a brand new show will be debuting on the Pop feed. It is called Blockbuster Rewind. On that show, we will be talking about basically blockbusters. We will profile about three or four per episode. And my two co-hosts on that show are going to be Scott Shiflett and Eric Eels. I look very forward to getting together with those guys.
Mm-hmm. That is going to be awesome. I am very much looking forward to that.
Yes, those guys are tremendous movie guys who have a lot of similar interests as I do, because I got to be honest with you, I love comedies. I love, you know, action movies. Blockbusters are my favorite. Just give me a big summer, you know, movie, a tentpole, give me some popcorn, and I am a happy camper. On our first episode, we're going to be talking about what's considered the first blockbuster, that is Jaws, and its subsequent sequels, Jaws 2, Jaws 3D, and Jaws of Revenge. And our guest will be the one, the only, Tim Capel, a guy who has been dying to talk about Jaws of Revenge in some...
He's been talking about Jaws for like 3 years.
So we're giving him a platform. So look for that coming very soon on the PlayStation Pop feed, as well as here on this very feed. Next episode of The Evolution will be coming out in early July. I'm going to be sitting down with the Godfather, Nate Milton, and we're going to be profiling the man called Sting. So I'm looking very forward to talking to Nate and getting an education on probably my favorite WCW guys of all time as well. And don't forget, check out all the website, PlayStation.com. Great articles all the time. Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, Trent SmackDown and Fox Report, John Crow's This Week in WWE, In the Huddle with Hinkle, another new column, Matt Rotella, somebody you've heard about many times, has been on pods, is doing a rewatch of all the live-action Disney movies. We have a couple of them up on the site already. Matt's doing a tremendous job out of the gate, so look for those. As well as Steve Riddle, who's been going through all the animated films in written review. So Matt's reviews go up on Tuesdays, Steve's goes up on Fridays. So check all those out. Check us all out on the social media pages. By the time you hear this, the Greatest Junk Food Tournament probably will be over. Probably will be either Doritos, nacho cheese, or double stuffed Oreos. Who are you guys going to vote for in the final matchup?
Double stuffed Oreos.
What about you guys?
Tim Tams.
Give me a fucking Tim Tams.
Fucking Tim Tams.
I'm going to go with Doritos on that one.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Scott?
Seriously, I'll probably vote for Doritos. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do regular Oreos lose and a gimmick Oreo wins? Why do we even bother? I mean, seriously.
There's more, fuck. Because there's more cream filling.
And as we always
I wish you would stop and not sit filling, and then we could have made that a fucking bump for the rest of eternity. But anyway,
you can just cut it off.
Yeah, that's true. I can. That is true. I'll probably vote for Doritos.
Scott, you gonna say something?
I didn't want to say something real quick. Sticking to the pop feed, Andy, I got a lot of great feedback from a lot of people about the 5-part Bond Legacy series that we did. My buddy Tech was awesome. He loved doing it, and the Pop Goes the Classics will continue down the line. I might as well announce it now because we are going to do it. I'm not sure when we'll start it, but at some point in the near future, Tech and I are going to do. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. You ready, Mr. Atherton?
I'm ready.
All 13 Star Trek films.
Oh, knew that was coming.
From Star Trek the Motion Picture all the way to Star Trek Beyond. All 13 of them.
Wow. Are you going to keep these pods under 2 hours each?
Shit. No. We'll keep them shorter than the movies. So. anyway, that'll start sometime down the line. Not sure when. But sometime down the line, we'll get started on those. But we did talk about doing the Back to the Future trilogy. But I thought, Andy, we would probably want to have more people on those than just him and I. So we'll talk about that. Maybe make that a nice, fun ensemble. Because this is the 35th anniversary this year of the first one. So we should do at least that one at some point this year.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. We'll do a Pop Goes the Classic special ensemble. You, me, we'll get Tech. Maybe we'll get the ladies on, and we'll talk the 35th anniversary of the first Back to the Future. I think we should do that this year at some point.
Well, actually, speaking of Back to the Future and Pop Goes the Classics, I actually have Back to the Future on the slate for Laughing Theater. It could be a nice companion piece with a Pop Goes the Classics.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll be joined by Lee Elias on that episode, and we're aiming to have that out on or right before July 3rd of this year, which is the 35th anniversary. But I really look forward to, though, getting down and talking about the entire trilogy as a whole.
Absolutely.
And talk about Pop Goes the Classics, my series that we're doing about the Disney live action, as myself, Miranda Berthold, and Chad Campbell. We just released Dumbo, and that actually pod was longer than the movie because Dumbo's only 63 minutes. And the next episode is Bambi. So that'll be fun. Look for that coming soon. Also, big announcement coming. Since the Junk Food Tournament is ending, we have a new tournament on the horizon. It's a music tournament, but we're not going to say what it is here. We save our tournament announcements for the Mothership, the podcast that started everything. That's right, Scott and Justin's Place to Be podcast. So tune in to the episode that is dropping on... what's the date, Joe? June?
Well, let's put it this way. If you're listening to this pod on Tuesday evening, June 16th, then it dropped yesterday.
Okay.
So we won't announce it here. You'll just have to go back and listen to ours, and then you'll know.
It's a big music tournament. It's going to last the whole summer, and we're looking forward to it. Last year's 80 song tournament was a lot of fun. Little shenanigans happened towards the end, but I think everybody had a good time. And our subsequent tournaments, the sitcom tournament, the sports logo tournament, and this junk food tournament has been a lot of fun. And, you know, we just keep them going. We take a little breather, and we try to change up the subject matter and just keep everybody engaged and discussions. And that's what we're about here at Place Beach. Lots of fun. So I want to thank the guys for being on tonight's show. For Scott Criscolo, Logan Crosland, and the debut of Bruni, a.k.a. Dave Grunberg, I am Andy Atherton. Thank you for joining us on the latest episode of Great Debate Wrestling, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Okay. Oh God.